Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
It is Steve Arterburn with two of the greats today in Christian counseling, Dr. Dave Stoop. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
I am doing well, and I'm glad to be with you and Dr. John Townsend today. Hey, John.
Hey, everybody, and hey, listening family.
Now, two things. This is so cool. One thing that's happening is that they're going to announce at the World Conference that a new division of the American Association of Christian Counselors is going to occur, and it's going to be the Life Recovery Division. And all the things that Dave and I have put together are going to be an entire division.
Congratulations, guys. Yeah, you have earned this over the years.
The other great thing is that this month is the beginning of the Townsend Institute with Huntington University here in Indiana. The 29th, the big kickoff, and I'm going to speak, and John's going to be there. And who else is going to be there, John, on that amazing day?
Goodness, there'll be videos and personal appearance from a lot of people. Ken Blanchard, Henry Cloud, Dr. Gary Oliver, Jill and John Gutman. I'll be speaking a bunch, bringing some fresh content. It's going to be a lot of content, a lot of people showing up. All the students will be there. We're probably 150 students and lots of faculty and friends. It's going to be a gala, and you can still sign up. We're an online, medium, reasonably priced place, so you can sign up for a certificate or a master's, or you can just sign up because you want to cherry-pick courses. And so show up. We're still accepting people.
Yeah. Well, it's a great thing. If you like what you hear here, you'll love that. It's leadership and counseling both. And it just from the life of books that John has put together and the leadership material that he's developed, all of that is right there at that institute. And it's an online experience. And like he says, it's very reasonably priced. It's so great to see something come out of all that we do here that's going to be lasting forever. And so if you know somebody that's wanting to study counseling, psychology from a Christian perspective or leadership, that's the place to do it. And all of that launches on August the 29th. Go online. Find out about it at townsendinstitute.org.
What are you going to speak on, Steve?
I'm going to be speaking on the institutionalization of institutions. And I think it's going to be an amazing experience for a lot of people that are there. How to learn from the learning experience is going to be one of my points. And then how to grow as you grow. Isn't it amazing, New Age people, how they repeat stuff
really
and they get away with it? I can't do it. But they'll say, you must go to the place where there is the place of going. And people go,
I'm writing that one down.
Yeah, it's amazing. And then, you know, we say stuff that makes sense and people go, I don't think it makes sense. But anyway, it's going to be great. Glad to get to go there. And, you know, Also, be sure that if you are in the San Jose area or anywhere, you can still go to Every Man's Battle, which starts on Friday. That is a life-changing experience. And don't forget, all of us are on tv.newlife.com. Those powerful, powerful videos, you can watch them anytime. 900 programs. It's amazing what has been put together there. On everything from living with a narcissist, loving with a narcissist, learning with a narcissist. A lot about narcissists.
Let's give somebody a prize for the 1,000th one. They send us an idea, and we use that, and that becomes our 1,000th one. That person gets a prize for the idea.
I'm going to send them a copy of Our Mothers Ourselves. And so, great idea. Also, don't forget WeDare.com. take the challenge, 30 days. And coming up in Denver 2 days from now, I'll be there, August the 7th, Women of Faith. Come join us. We'll be back and go to calls right after this. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I want to tell you about our We Dared campaign and urge you to go to WeDared.com and take the challenge to starve your eyes for 30 days. You know, men are bombarded with sexual images every day. It's really hard to avoid. But we all have choices to make and a responsibility to be intentional about what we choose to look at and to think about. We want to help you do that. If you take the challenge at WeDared.com to starve your eyes for 30 days, we'll send you an email each day with encouragement and tips to keep you on track. We'll provide free downloadable Bible studies for men, young men, and even the tween men in preparing your son for every young man's battle. You could even learn how to start an Every Man's Battle group for sexual integrity. It's all there at WeDared.com. I hope you'll take the challenge to 30 days of sexual integrity and sexual purity. For more information, go to WeDared.com and take that challenge. I dare you to do it.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Rick from Sacramento, California. WFIA is the station. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing?
We're pretty good. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Listen, I just had a quick question for it's probably not going to be quick. It's kind of involved. But I caught your show the other day, and there was a discussion that revolved around businesses participating and whether they should not participate or how they should approach dealing with homosexual weddings and functions. And what you had to say struck some real chords about not being convicting and not imposing Christ standards on non-believers and taking the opportunity to model Christ's love to these individuals. But I'm struggling still because I have a lot of difficulty dealing personally with how to respond in that light, because we are called to be both light and salt, and I think your comments dealt mostly with the light part of that. But really particularly, my church, of course, is really struggling, and my pastor is really struggling, and we're having a series of seminars at church over the next couple of weeks to discuss it. Our churches are business, and hence my question, my really pressing question. How does the church, as a church, as an organization, as a business, how do they respond from that perspective? To be, as you were suggesting, to respond in complete love and modeling Christ's love and not imposing standards of Christ on non-believers, or exactly how is a church to respond if, for instance, their approach to use their facilities for a homosexual wedding, yeah, or to for their pastors to officiate at a homosexual wedding?
Yeah, it's really tough. I think there are all sorts of different levels, but the one level is we want to uphold the truth. We never want to compromise on the truth. We never want to do something that goes against God's truth. Now, having said that, we also want to deliver that in a loving way rather than in a secondary agenda of expressing anger, bitterness, resentment, put down, whatever. So, a church needs to follow the teachings of Christ. And I don't think that they should be apologetic in deciding that, man and woman are those that are intended to be married, and that's who you marry in your church. How long they'll be able to do that and maintain a tax-exempt status, I watched a program where someone said that is the next step here, is revoking a tax-exempt status from a church that won't do that. But again, you don't want to compromise the truth. We're talking about the church here. Totally different issues when we're talking about how do we interact with people that are not saved, who are contemplating being married or involved in a same-sex marriage. John and Dave, your thoughts.
Then there's the issue of there is an overlap, because at the same time, you know, we are trying to be embracing and seekers and to be quote-unquote seeker-friendly and to draw people into the church so that we have an opportunity to bring them to Christ, or to at least introduce them to Christ, and that really becomes difficult then on that side of it when the church is standing up and saying at the same time, but you know, we're not going to deal with marrying same sex because this is against Christ. I mean, the truth really begins to get difficult to stand for. And at the same time, be loving and drawing people, and that's a real difficult.
All right. Well,
balance.
Look, if someone came and said they wanted to marry their own child, you wouldn't say, okay, well, we need to do this to be loving. Mm-hmm. There are standards. People have very different standards, and I'm saying the church shouldn't go against their standard. I'm going to give you a subscription to tv.newlife.com. I think if you looked at the video that I did on transgender, I think you'd find a lot of details in that answer that would answer your question. But Dave, John, your thoughts on this?
There's going to be the clash between those rights and the religious freedom. And I don't think it's a resolved issue. I don't think it's going to be resolved for a long, long time. There are denominations that will say this is no problem, and there's other denominations that will tell their churches you can't do it. And that's the freedom that we have in terms of how we exercise our faith is going to be a question. Now, the tax-exempt status may come under attack, but it's going to be... It's going to be a chaotic time. I don't think there's an easy answer.
No, never is. John, any thoughts here?
Yeah, it's ultimately, I think, a theological question, and I would recommend everybody, let's go back to our Bibles. And smart people have been studying this, but when you go back and you determine what is something that's uncomfortable but not like a sin against God's laws, and what is something that's a sin against God's laws, that's where it comes down to. And if you determine theologically that it's the wrong thing, you got to be able to take all kinds of persecution. That's just the role. But make sure you do your Bible study homework.
Mm-hmm. Hope that's helpful to you. We don't usually get into debates like that. We usually just deal with people's own personal issues and problems. And let's do that right now. And let's talk with Lori Ann. And Lori Ann's calling us from WAVA. Hello, Lori Ann. Welcome to New Life.
Hi, how are you?
Excellent. How are you? What's going on?
I'm good. So I have a question. My son is 21. He's a young guy. And he is seriously wanting to get married to a young woman. They've been dating for a year. And they also grew up together, so they have this whole history of knowing each other forever.
Okay.
So my thing is, I'd really like to point them in the right direction as far as, like, is there someplace they can go for premarital counseling? Is there someplace, you know, I personally, I'm going to Healing as a Choice, but that's not actually geared towards, you know, premarital counseling. And I was just wondering what was available.
You know, in this day and age, I don't care whether a guy's ever even looked at pornography. Seems like to me probably the most valuable thing he could do is go to Every Man's Battle. Mm. Because it's about integrity and connecting, overcoming problems and connecting after betrayal, all sorts of things. I mean, he may not be up for that, but then again, he might, in unknowing, you might not know, but he might have an issue with that. But I'll tell you, that is one powerful place for a young married guy to get his act together?
Or for a
what
young,
are your thoughts?
Well, a couple of months ago, I had a young man who's getting married this month now in August go to Every Man's Battle, and he didn't have a major problem. He had dabbled with it, and it was a life-changing experience for him. He just couldn't talk enough about the people he met, the stories he heard, and the openness and the acceptance he felt. And it,
one of the
I'd underline what you just said, yeah. Steve.
Well, one of the powerful things is just like if you're talking to your son about sexual integrity and pornography, you can talk to your son about anything. Then, well, when a young married guy can talk to other men about this, then he can talk to men about anything. And that really keeps the marriage very healthy when he's got healthy connections like that. John, your thoughts?
Yeah. Can I broaden this to past sexual issues? Because
sure.
Marriage has a lot more issues than that, too. Attachment,
yeah.
Control, money, having the right fights, intimacy, vulnerability. I love what you guys are saying, but I would want to also broaden. Here's what I would do. And I always tell my friends this, is if you want them to have the best right foot forward, look in your community. I mean, you're in D.C. You're a lot of people around you. And find the best marital therapist that you know, who's got a great reputation, and say, I'm going to pay for 10 sessions for you. That's one of my gifts to you as your mom.
It's a great idea.
And two of those sessions are 6 months later after you're married.
Oh, snap. Okay,
oh,
Stoop just nailed it. That's beautiful.
I'm really glad that you said that. Actually, there was a betrayal, but not on his part.
There was a what?
Betrayal.
That she betrayed him?
Yes.
Okay,
and they're moving forward, right?
Yes, but I see that.
Okay, make it 20 sessions.
But how long ago was the betrayal, and what has she done to ensure that is resolved?
Besides, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. That's got to be more than that.
She's extremely, extremely open and just been extremely vulnerable, answered all of questions, anything that could possibly be asked of her, she has answered.
But has she done anything about the character issue?
What drove her to do it?
To the problem.
I'm open and I'm sorry is good, but did she have a little surgery, some good counseling on what drove her to betray him?
They're both willing to go to counseling. I just don't know which direction to point them.
Well, if you get in with a good marital counselor who does premarital work, they'll cover that. That'll come up, and they'll deal with that. And that's all you.
They've got 10,000 hours of that, and they can do it with the back of a golf swing. They will know your son and daughter-in-law's story a billion times, and that's what they do. And it's just like a greatest gift you can give somebody.
But if I was talking to your son, I would be saying, you know, you really need to put this off. Mm. You need to delay this because if you just let her being apologetic be the solution here and she doesn't go out and do something, get really intense help, get involved in a support group, a recovery group, then you're essentially setting her up to do the same thing once you get married.
We don't want to scare you, but that's just really true. When people have a bad acting out episode, and maybe it was a betrayal, maybe it's doing cocaine, maybe it's porn, maybe it's embezzling money, I'm sorry is kind of not enough. They've got to be some extra nutrients from the body of Christ with professional expertise and all the hours. What's the harm in that? I think Steve's totally right.
Well, and you're trying to put your best foot forward during the dating and engagement. And if that happens while you're trying to put the best foot forward, see, there was a disconnection that led to it. There was a dishonesty that led to it. There's a lack of accountability with other women in connection that led to it. So I wouldn't treat this so lightly as, hey, let's just go get some marriage counseling. Everything's going to be great. I was hoping that you would say she really got in there and got some help for this.
So what do you think about what we're saying? We're kind of doing the scared straight business here.
Well, obviously, I feel like all of those things need to happen before commitment. And so, and they're both willing to do those things. I have never been involved in premarital counseling, and I'm not really sure which avenue to go to. And I like the idea of giving it as a gift. I would be willing to do that. Is there a network or?
No, really what you need, we have thousands of people in the New Life Network. You can call that or go to the, you know, if you know a lot of therapists in the D.C. area. But here's the point is that it's a well-established, well-researched area of expertise.
Mm-hmm.
They just know how to do it blindfolded.
You know, you could stay on the line and talk to one of our people about the counselors from Washington, D.C. area who work with the Marriage Weekend.
There you go.
Because they know how to do work with, and anybody who works with marriages will do premarital work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you know how she got involved with somebody else, how the betrayal occurred?
Yeah, she felt neglected.
By your son?
Yes.
Oh,
ouch.
Something broken there that needs to be mended.
Yeah. Because that, that's going to be a fallback position. I'm neglected. I'm entitled to more. You're not enough. Gone.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and I'm really excited that our ministry trip this year is going to Ireland. We're calling it the Irish Connection. And it's New Life's 2015 spiritual adventure. And I sure hope you're going to join us.
There's a lot of cathedrals you're going to visit along the way with such an amazing history of Christianity here in Ireland. We're called the Land of Saints and Scholars. The scenery is amazing. The history, whether you're in the castles and the west coast of Ireland. And then when you come up to Dublin, the contrast between the countryside and then the capital city, which is quite a cosmopolitan European city now with some amazing architecture. You're going to be spoiled for choice with the museums, whether it's the Book of Kells in Trinity College or Chester Beatty Library. Some of the oldest manuscripts in the world are housed there.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and be part of the Irish Connection.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Best offense is a good defense. Mm. And how many people wish that they had done something very, very defensive before they took the step of going forward in marriage?
I wish people would call in and just say that, Steve, like, hey, so glad you're dealing with this because we wish we had, or we're so glad we did. It's just, I love what you're saying about this. It's good.
Well, it's the old aviation principle. How many people are up there in the sky in bad weather wishing they were on the ground? That's a horrible place to be versus on the ground wishing that you could have been up in the sky flying away in the bad weather.
There you go.
And so once you get in the plane in the midst of the storm, it's too late. So do the work before you get on the plane and fly. Anyway, somehow that analogy broke down there in the middle of it, but I think everybody knows what I was trying to say. Do the work. All right. Let's go over here to Sally. Sally's from Upland, California. KKLA is the station. Hello, Sally. Welcome to New Life. Glad you're with us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve Arterburn. And I love New Life Ministries.
Thank you. Thank you. Let me send you a beach ball as our way of saying thank you for thanking us.
Well, then, you know what? If that's what I get for being a New Life donator, then that's great.
Well, we love denominational, donational people. So thank you. Now, how can we help you today?
Well, you know what? All this time, you know, I've been giving every month, and I never decided just to call and ask a question. I've always just prayed about it. But I decided, you know what? I'm going to not just give $30 every month. I'm going to call and see if I can actually get a hold of Steve Alderman. And here you are. And I have a dating question.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay. I met someone who used to be a drug and alcohol counselor. And he used to work as a drug and alcohol counselor, okay? He doesn't know more. He does get disability or something because stress disorder or something. He's been diagnosed to be bipolar, and I recently met him at church. He got saved, and he's now going on almost 2 years being saved. He loves it. Mm-hmm. He's a wonderful person. However, in my process of dating him, I'm kind of like, me and him are like turtles, like really slow. We're like,
yeah.
I don't want to wait so long to where I say, you know, I don't want to get married, or maybe I do. I'm at the point to where I'd rather be slow as a turtle and take my time and know for sure that this is the one to get married to.
We would totally agree with you on that. So where would the question be? Because we agree so far.
My question is, how do I know if... if it's just me that is, you know, finding too many things to not want to marry him, or how much time do I give to give it the benefit of the doubt, to get to know him, and to actually say yes, and let's get married, because neither one of us is, we're kind of just stuck waiting on the Lord, like one day the Lord will...
yeah, Lord really doesn't do that.
Sometimes it's not a matter of how many things, it's a matter of what are the things? So what are the things that prevent you from saying, hey, it's time, let's do this?
What things make the turtles go back in their shells?
Yeah.
Well, for the fact that I've been told never, don't marry a person that's bipolar. But I find so many things I really like and admire about
them. No, don't marry somebody who is an untreated bipolar. But somebody's getting help, and they're normal and functioning and can love and take responsibility, and they're on their meds, and they get their counseling. Absolutely. That's not a problem.
Oh, okay. Because he
untreated
does get
is the word.
Medication.
Yeah.
And he's a counselor, drug and alcohol counselor, so he knows his own
issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's
issues
not a...
And stuff.
That's,
and
that would not be a red flag. So did we just remove the main turtle event or other turtle events?
Now,
I think we did. You know what? I think as we're talking, I think the Lord is telling me just to wait on the Lord and give it some more time and enjoy the courtship.
That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times people talk to John and they think they're hearing from the Lord, and I think that's a good thing. But
that's scary thing.
Here's the thing.
Okay.
Those are issues that you need to have a lot of friends who love you a lot, helping you look at different things. And a person that is bipolar who gets off of his medicine 2 months out of 12, that's not a good thing. A person who has a character issue and is inconsistent in their behavior, that's not a good thing. A person that's out of control from time to time with rage, a person that withdraws and is destructive, that's not a good thing. I mean, there are a lot of things to evaluate.
Yeah, see, that's not him.
Okay, so...
Henry and I wrote a book called Banners and Dating. We'll send it to you. But we have a chapter there called Sins You Can Live With and Sins You Can't Live With.
Oh, awesome.
Because, you know, if you wait forever for somebody perfect, that won't happen. But if somebody's, I don't know, a little bit messy or their voice gets too loud, can you live with those sins? It's kind of like, let's live in reality here.
One of the ways they say that is no matter who you marry is going to have problems. You just want to have problems that you can live with.
There you go.
Exactly.
We'll get to the book.
Annoyed is one thing. And having to deal with infidelity, unfaithfulness,
yeah,
lack of character. Those are those.
There's
are
misdemeanors and felonies.
True. And you don't want to marry a fellow felon.
A fellow felon.
don't
be
miss
a
out on
or
a,
be a
yeah,
felon.
All right. We'll be back after this.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number, and I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I can't tell you how excited we are about New Life Television. It's an internet television channel at tv.newlife.com. Check it out. You'll see that there's exclusive content, content that we really don't have time to get into here on our radio program. We go down deep and we try to provide you the foundations of the stuff that we know and the stuff that we like to share with you. There's a day on biblical integration, in the news, life recovery, and it's only $9.95 a month, and that supports this ministry. It's an in-depth attempt to connect with you deeper and provide you with a stronger foundation of biblical wisdom from God's Word. Check it out, tv.newlife.com. tv.newlife.com.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. Dr. John Townsend, he's the author of Our Mothers, Ourselves. And if you want a copy, a donation, any amount, we send it to you. Let's go to the phones and talk with Sarah, Denver, Colorado. Hi, Sarah. How are you today?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
My heart is aching. I called you before regarding my marriage.
Okay.
Sorry. This is my second marriage of 5 years. He's been married 5 times now.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was going to be something we could do. I thought that he had gotten some healing, some changes, and I've called before, and you said to work on boundaries, and you sent me a book, and I read that. Another time we talked about compassion, and I've really been trying to work on that. I've been going to counseling, and I've been trying to really to do that and read the books my counselor recommends. In March, I was like, I can't do this anymore, because I've seen that in counseling with him, too, he just decides not to apply the skills. He doesn't do it. He'll say he'll go, but then he says, no, that's a bunch of bunk, and then he doesn't want to continue. Or he'll just, in the middle of whatever's going on, he will just put up walls and just say, no, I'm not going to do
that. What are the behaviors that you're seeing a counselor for? What are the specific behaviors you're bringing him in for?
Just conflict. We can't resolve conflict. Mm. And you know, a vulnerability. He has a really hard time being vulnerable, and I guess my counselor's saying now that, you know, he seems to feel so much shame, and when someone gets close to him or if he feels bad at all, he just shoots the darts back.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hurtful.
And why did you think it was going to be different? What had he done that made you think it was going to be different?
Well, you know, he does nice things, and he's nice, and I know it's a snare, and it traps me in, but as far as vulnerability or trying
or maybe
to
he's really
out,
being nice. Maybe it's not a snare. Maybe he's just a really nice guy who's still in conflict. We got to give him the benefit of the doubt on some of this.
Okay, right. Okay, so he's a nice guy and he's trying in his way, but he just is, you know, he just throws the darts out. It's very hurtful. So what I've chosen to do is just kind of, you know, live parallel with him, and I find that to be really, really difficult as well.
So he hasn't been unfaithful, is that right?
No, right.
He just is very...
kind of harsh and critical.
Yeah, and then he's not able to grasp how to work in the counseling process, turns his back on it, ignores it. So what's the question for us?
He doesn't take responsibility. He just pushes everything off from him. Yeah. So my question is, I mean, I saw this as soon as we were married, and I called the pastor who married us, and I said, this is not good. I can't do this. And I at that point, I was like, I wanted to annul it. And he was like, no, and I've had people along the way who have helped me and encouraged me and tried to help me stick through this and do the right things. But I'm just wondering, how long do I keep doing this? I have friends coming up to me and saying, this is hard for all of us. You need to get off this fence. This is hard for all of us, for your children. My children are all grown, but it's still. Now, the other thing is that in the past, he's been abusive. And, you know, I guess we both have been, but he's thrown me against the wall. He's thrown me down to the ground.
Oh, gosh.
He's had his hands around my neck. I mean, that's in the past. It's getting better, but in a way, I've listened to, I think it's Sherry who does the gaslighting, and I've noticed he does the gaslighting, you know, where I say, that really hurt when you said that. And he says, I never said that. Those words never came out of my mouth.
And I'm like, the thing that drew you to him was what?
Oh, my own need for relationship, my own probably loneliness, you know, physical contact, all those things, you know. And I see that now. I see that I didn't wait long enough or watch careful enough. I see those things.
Let me, since you're a supporter and a caller, you called several times. When we went, so many of these issues are boundary issues. So did you set the boundaries that the books told you to do?
Yes, and that is actually another question I have. He does not respect my boundaries.
Well, hold it. This is not about you. Oh. No. That's not what the books say.
Okay.
We didn't write all those books saying, go do these and everybody will respect them. It's not a two-way thing here.
Well, if they respected them, you wouldn't even need them.
Yeah, you wouldn't need the book. Right. So, like, when you said, I can't take this tone of voice, or you can't touch me that way, or whatever, and I'll do X, and there's a million X's in marriage. There is, I'll leave the room, I'll leave the house, I'll go see a friend, I'll be cold, or I won't be, you know, I'll have to cut off warmth because I can't be open to you. I'll see a shrink. I'll call the cops. There's a million boundaries, not having to do with his respect. What happened when you set boundaries? Here's what happens most of the time in these cases is you got tired of it and he wasn't warming up, and so you just said, well, forget it, and you just dropped the boundaries and got discouraged and out of energy. Is that the case?
In the past, but I'm sticking firmer to them now, I noticed that he doesn't seem to care. My family took us on a cruise, and I said, you know, I said, if we can't get along and have us be able to work things out, you know, it's not gonna be comfortable for everyone. And so I went alone.
Okay, well, here's the deal. When they do the I don't care thing, you've got to find out. Here's the number one thing I can tell you, and I've done it a million times with the boundaries issues. You must find out what you provide that matters to him. And there's a long list. Because that's your leverage. If he doesn't mind you being on the other side of the cruise ship, that's not leverage. But is it, I mean, sit down with a trusted friend. Is it your warmth? Is it that you've got structure? Are you funny? Is it your spiritual part? Is that you're a good provider? Is it that you're a good listener? It could be a million
what
things.
What is it? And what do you think it is?
Why is he still in the marriage, and what does he value from you? One answer. What comes to your mind?
My home.
What about your home?
He has a place to live.
Okay, and he values that?
I believe so.
All right.
So he was out of a place to live when you guys got together?
Yes.
So if you said, I feel so awful, and I'm doing my work, I'm taking the beam out of my eye, I'm not perfect here, I'm getting my own transformation, but that we may have to go to separate domiciles, would he go, yeah, forget it, I'm out of here, it doesn't matter? Or would he go, hey, I want to stay here? Would that matter to this man?
Yes, it matters to him. I think it does in his heart. But the words he speaks would be like, fine, if that's what you want to do, go ahead and file.
I don't care what he speaks. No, I'm not talking about filing. No. The filing didn't come from this radio show.
No, that's what he would say.
Well, then you say, I'm not filing. I'm getting safe so we can both grow together. In other words, here's my whole point. You've got to find out what good thing you provide that is now on hold because he's not nice, or what bad thing, you know, comes his way. It's like with a three-year-old. If you've got a three-year-old who's an introvert, you don't say go to your room because they go, yay. So you got to find out what matters to this man, bring it to your counselor, bring it to God, and just say, I'm holding on to this, and I will give you this thing you want, but you got to start being nice to me, and get him in the process of finding out why he can't be vulnerable. That's what boundaries are really about.
Okay.
So do some work on that. Talk to some trusted friends. Other guys?
If there was a book entitled The Road to Nice, Yep. I would recommend that to you.
Yep.
Dave and I wrote a book, on The Angry Man. I don't know, maybe we can find that somewhere in the
somewhere
archives.
Out of the 10 that sold, somebody might have sent it back to the store.
That was a good book.
Right. But the thing is, this is a man who has proved ineffective in his life.
Yes.
5 marriages.
Yes.
No home. You know, it's time that he get involved in some major surgery.
And God has a system. God has a system where there are only 2 things that motivate us: to get the help, get vulnerable, get honest, stop blaming, and all. And it's just been true for humanity forever. One of those is a desire for good. Hunger and thirst for righteousness is what Jesus called it. Some people say, I'll go to this trouble and this surgery and look at myself and dig all this junk out because I have a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Other people, it's pain because they're tired of living on the street or they're tired of eating dog food. So if he says, I don't care about righteousness, then you got to go to the pain. God treats all his millions of kids that way.
Okay. I wish you guys could get to our marriage weekend. Have you talked to him about that? I mean, you're a supporter, you're a listener. What's his response?
But he hasn't answered. But my question is, now the pastor has recommended that he goes to an accountability, a men's group. And this was back in March. And he would also see a pastor on a Christian counselor on anger. And he has done none of that.
What's your boundary? What's your leverage? What can you take away that matters? Keep thinking of that. Think like God does.
If you're not going to do the work, then I can't stay in this. Can I do that?
I'm going to leave the marriage because you won't go to a counselor?
No, we're going to separate.
I don't know what you meant by those words. Did you mean separate or divorce?
Yeah. No, separate. Do something so that...
Sure. Sometimes that's the thing to do.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and I'm really excited that our ministry trip this year is going to Ireland. We're calling it the Irish Connection, and it's New Life's 2015 spiritual adventure, and I sure hope you're going to join us.
It looks like an amazing trip, the wonderful combination of breathtaking scenery, particularly along the drive of the Wild Atlantic Way. You're traveling through at least 3 of the national parks in Ireland, Clare and Killarney and Stenagh and Wicklow, which is considered the Garden of Ireland. Picturesque, dramatic scenes, and some of the castles, just really mystical and magical places. So as well as the beautiful scenery in Ireland, you will get an opportunity to listen and sit with Milo and Dave and Steve for the evening talks. You are in for some good fun and good stories.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and be part of the Irish Connection. Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see him in a more accurate form and begin to trust him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back. Glad you're with us here. Got a final caller. It's Dolores. She's calling from Newcastle. Hi, Dolores. Welcome to New Life.
Hi, how are you today?
We're doing okay. How could we help you?
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Yes,
my question is, what can my husband and I do to help our 11-year-old grandson? Both of his parents, our son and his mother, are alcoholics, drug addicts. His mother has older children. Well, actually, his father has older children and his mother has older children from other relationships. And there's drug addiction for those children. Our 11-year-old grandson is doing very well in school. He makes all A's. He's involved in sports and Boy Scouts and things like that. And his father is very involved in his life. But
his currently alcoholic, currently drinking.
Fighting and drinking. And
the dad is currently drinking and on drugs and also very involved in a positive way?
Yes.
Huh, okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, as opposed to his other two children, where he wasn't, but they're adults now.
Okay, I see.
So you're staying involved with him as much as you can, supporting him, being with him, going to games, all of that?
Yeah, as much as we can. He doesn't live real close.
What are you concerned about as grandparents? What are you concerned about that you see in his life that you guys want to help? That'll help us to target our strokes to help you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we know he's listening to them fighting because his mother calls us complaining about the behavior of the father. He's cheating on her, but when she calls us, she's drunken too. But we know that they're fighting, they're hitting each other, they're screaming, they're yelling, and this little boy is just up the stairs in bed. And he's doing well, but I see, like he's very into something. Like he will ignore everything that's going on around him and play with his Legos. Or
yeah, he has to go inside and detach to stay away from the chaos.
Right, right. And he will, you know, he concentrates on his homework. He's
How frequently do you and your husband see him?
Pardon?
How frequently do y'all see him? I mean, do you see him once a week, once a month, twice a month?
Probably once a month.
All right.
Well,
that kind of limits what you can do.
Yeah. And it sounds like to me, maybe I'm wrong, but it's the offenses are something less than what would have him removed from the home. Is that right?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, probably. Well,
would you guys be willing to? Would you be willing to raise him if he were to be?
Oh, yes, that we would never be allowed to. Yeah, the offenses aren't to that level yet. I mean,
they sound really bad, though. You know, it sounds like a really bad relationship, a bad situation for him.
What's your relationship like with your son, Dolores?
Well, his wife calls us and tells us all these terrible things he's doing, cheating on her, drinking, not paying the bills. But eventually, somehow, the bills get paid. He's going to work every day.
Okay. Have you talked to him about his drinking?
Yeah, I mean, he was on house arrest for a while. He had four DUIs. He was on house arrest for a while, and he didn't drink. And he didn't drug. He was
Have you offered to pay for treatment?
His wife still kept alcohol in the house.
Yeah, but that sounds like you're blaming her for keeping alcohol in the house, and right. Your son has a horrible addiction problem.
Yes.
Have you ever offered to pay for treatment for him?
Yes, we have.
And what's his response?
And he has gone to our church for an addictive class and things like that. And he has gone because of the DUIs. He went to a state.
Yeah, but you just go through the motions a lot of times with that.
Yeah.
I mean, 4 DUIs is, I mean,
I'll tell you,
two is bad enough.
Yeah. Anybody that gets one that doesn't have a drinking problem, it'll be the last one they ever get.
And anybody gets two is
but he's a loaded gun living in the home.
Yes, he is.
Well, I tell you, you want to know what you can do. I mean, I think you need to spend as much time as you can with the grandson. But if I were you, I would be encouraging my father to spend as much time as he could connecting with his son. And every connection would be, could I take you to a meeting?
Yeah.
Would you go to a meeting with me?
Be an advocate for recovery.
If I drive down there right now, would you go to a meeting? I would never let a conversation go by that I wasn't dealing with the reality that he is a very serious alcoholic.
You're really quiet now.
Well, my husband has helped him out a lot. He has driven him to work one time for 5 years.
Oh my!
Well, that's not really helping. That's actually hurting.
That.
What I'm talking about is doing something.
His job.
Yeah. I think you guys ought to get an Al-Anon, and I think he ought to be calling him and saying, let's go to a meeting together. I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible. Dave and I put that together, and that'd be something you could give this son. So you spend time with the grandson, and you try to get help for the son. That's the answer to your question.
And you might encourage your grandson that if he gets scared, really scared, he calls
you. Yes, yeah, that's
or he right. Even if he's really scared, he calls 911. And give him permission to do that.
Very good. Right. Yeah. All right. We're just about out of time. We need your support. We need your help if you can. I'm going to send you for a gift of any kind. Dr. John Townsend's book, he wrote it with Henry Cloud, Our Mothers, Ourselves. That's our way of saying thank you. $100 gift or $25 four times, we'll send you the fun package of a beach ball, acrylic mason jar glass, and a beach towel. Our Summer of 15 fun package, our way of saying thank you. If you support us by joining Club New Life at $30 a month, we send you John Townsend's book, You Can Do This. And with that book comes a mug, and it's got a message of hope and healing on the mug. And with the mug comes a thumb drive with our best tv.newlife.com programs. And then the note cards from my artwork from Israel. It comes in a tote bag with our great message of hope and healing on it, the New Life logo. That's our way of saying thanks for being part of Club New Life. A lot of people have responded, and I hope that you will too. If you can't support us with finances, support us by telling somebody else to come alongside or asking them to listen or watch or just pray for us. We really need it. And then if you have heard us talk over the past month or so, you know that on the 29th, John Townsend, his Townsend Institute opens up. You can find out about it at townsendinstitute.org. You can become a student. You can become an advocate. You can be a supporter of it. It's an amazing institution. It's out of here in Indiana, Huntington University. And a lot of people are going to be trained and helped and counseled in leadership and counseling in an amazing, amazing way. We're really excited about that. It's not too late to go to Every Man's Battle this weekend. We would love to see you there. It could change everything. Also, coming up 2 days from now, I'll be in Denver with Women of Faith. Come and join me there. Come say hello. Still not too late to go to Ireland with us. September 26th, October 6th, we'll be meeting Dave's relatives there. He's a citizen of Ireland, as many people know. It's going to be a great time. Thank you, Dave Stoop. Thank you, John Townsend. And thanks to all of you who pray, watch, and support us. We love you. We care about you. We're going to see you here next time on New Life.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.